And it's the truth. Some of you would have a real hard time listening to Lecrae or Toby Mac. Some of you don't even know who they are, do you? And some of you might, you know, Bill Gaither's not your favorite, okay? We all got our favorite groups and stuff. But I was telling my wife the other day when we were coming back from Colorado Springs, we were listening to Casting Crowns' new CD. And I said, if people would only listen to the words. Let the melody go away for us. Listen to the words. This is a song we did. We sang last Sunday night, just because we had it. In the morning when I rise, Jesus, be my eyes. Before the day rushes in, with you is where I begin. As you sing over me with your love, I will sing praise for all you have done. Fill my heart as I hunger for you. Fill my mind with your wisdom, your mercy, your truth. Father, make me a river. Come, living water, flow through me. You are the one that I thirst for. So come, living water, flow through me. Guide every step I take, Lord, let me not wander away. Father, fill every word I speak with the same grace that you've given me. Touch the world with my hands, they are yours. Let my love show the lost that you are the Lord. God, Father, make me a river. Come, living water, flow through me. You are the one that I thirst for. So come, living water, flow through me. I heard that the first time and I thought, that's the most beautiful melody I've ever heard. And then I got to listen and I said, melody, shmelody. It's the message in that song. This song that we just sang, Chainbreaker, is the absolute truth of the gospel. It is the absolute truth of the gospel. That when we come to Jesus Christ, when we realize who He is, there are no chains that can hold us. There is nothing. And that's the reality of it. We are held in such bondage with our own thoughts about who and what God is that we truly miss sometimes who He is. He's a chain breaker. He's a pain taker. Oh, not my God. Whoa. My God is up there and He's on that throne. The angels fly round and round and round Him. They cry, holy, holy, holy. I don't talk about chain breakers in this church. I don't talk about pain takers. I glorify God with the pain in my body. Oh, God, I glorify you. That's a real fine prayer to pray. If God wanted you to suffer for Him, why didn't He give everybody cancer? Why did He send Jesus to die for us? That we might be healed. Amen. Well, we'll stand up. We'll be dismissed. And Broncos, you're only in the first quarter. So, right? No. Hallelujah. Amen. Kathy's still smiling. When she stops smiling, it'll be time to go. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, this morning to the book of Mark or book of Matthew, chapter 28. We're going to hit a scripture that everybody knows by heart, but it's appropriate for a time like this. Hey, just came back from the minister's meeting, our annual meeting, and wow, I'm excited about what God's going to do this next year. We have so many avenues available now for people to get involved, for people to get involved in missions and things. I'm so blessed. I found out that our missions representative, you remember Gary Tigert, the little guy had less hair than I did? He used to come and he could talk about missions. The missions rep we have now in the region was my overseer in Alaska that talked me into getting my license back. And I found that out yesterday. He's going to be coming as soon as I can get him here. I just am really excited about that. Missions project for next year, Togo, Africa. This is something that's really cool. In that little nation of Togo, Africa, they started building churches in that country and building a Bible school. They stopped. Now listen to this. They stopped the encroachment of Islam into their country. Stop it. They went the other way. Wow, I wonder if God's onto something here. Huh? We could get involved with that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's just really good. I had a great time. It's always great to see the other pastors in the region. We are so spread out and we don't, you know, see each other a whole lot of times, but it was great to be with them. What else is I going to tell you? Oh, yeah! If you didn't know it, Donald Trump got elected for president. It may be the utter demise of our country, but he got to be president. We have people in this country right now who are acting like they're insane. And it's not because he was elected. It's because the way we transfer government. We don't go in and shoot everybody. And then somebody stand up and say, okay, I'm going to be the leader now. We go to the place and we put in our ballots and we do our things and we have presidents. Hallelujah. And they just are having a real hard time with that. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation, please. Pray for our nation. It's going to be good. I just know it's going to be good. But it is going to be harder before it gets gooder. I think it is. I think it's going to be a little rough. But hallelujah anyway. Thanks be to God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Father, as we go to your word this morning, I pray that you take these words, you plant them in our heart. Lord, that you uproot roots and rocks and everything and make us to be fertile soil for your word. Lord, that we might see change in our life, that we might see a growth in our life, that we might see an explosion of God in our life that will lead us to places that we've never known before and allow us to go and to take with us people. Bring them to you, Jesus, that you might be Savior and Lord of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to start reading Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, if we could, please. At that time, Jesus answered and he said, I thank you, Lord. No, he didn't. He said, I thank you, Father. Amen. Let me stop here. I got to do this. This is something that I feel like Gwen's written another book. And now she's written this thing that I read and it's got me all wrapped around the axle about something. People do things in this church that are so God-given, so unbelievably from God, and sometimes I don't recognize it, and I really feel bad about that. And if I've done that to you, please let me know because I will make amends. I ain't going to give you my dog. I ain't going to do that. We had several years ago, and this came to my heart yesterday as we were in prayer. We were praying for people that have been a real blessing in our lives. And I thought about this, and I want to recognize, he ain't going to like it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to recognize Gary Danauer. Sits back there, prays for the offering, stands there, shakes your hand when you come in the door. It's been several years now when we were talking to Gary and the people who were the holders on of this building and this church. There was just a handful of them, but yet they made the payments. They did the stuff they needed to do. And on one occasion, Gary called me up. Wouldn't sell us a building. He said, no, we can't do that. We ain't gonna lease it. He called me up one time. He says, bring your counsel over. And we sat down in the room next door. And he told me, he says, we can't sell it, nor can we lease it. Gary looked at me and he says, we're going to give it to you. And I will never forget, I still got the keys in my pocket to come off of his keychain. He slid his keychain across the door, across the table. And Laura put the papers and everything across the table. And what an absolute blessing that was. Now, amen. You give God a hand clap for that one. It was God that impressed upon a heart, but it was a heart that listened to God. And Gary, I just want you to know how much today I appreciate you and that whole Ed and all of Ben that just kept things going for so long. And God bless you. Just, you know, that God got that one written down. I mean, that's going to be a special, he'll make the band get up when God calls out Gary on that one. Amen. But I do want to appreciate the people who do so much in this church. And we never, you know, they're just there. They're just always there. Hallelujah. Amen. Next week it is going to be Bob and his donuts. Amen. Now I'll get back to where I was going. I want us to look at this today as we go on through these verses, at the implications for us and the importance for us. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. What things is he talking about? The teachings that Jesus was bringing to us about his Father. Jesus came to die, to destroy the works of the devil. I agree with that 1,000,000%, and thank God he did. But he came also to reveal to us the heart of God, who God was, is, and always will be. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Now listen. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Say that with me. I will find rest for my soul. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the little bulletin message I wrote this morning, is we are going into the time of the year that stress becomes mega stress. It is stress to the 10th power. It is a time where people who are so worried, they're so concerned, they're worried about what people think. If I get them the wrong color of socks, or maybe if I get them a Starbucks card, they don't like Starbucks coffee. And what was it that she brought me last year? I got to get some. Oh yes, it was a $10 box of chocolates. So I got to go find a $15 box of chocolates. So that's just what happens. Stress upon stress upon stress upon stress. But Jesus is saying to us today, that's really nothing at all. But Jesus, you don't understand. And for some, you're right. Nobody could understand what I'm going through. Nobody could ever understand the things that I face. God, I'm not even sure you got it. But let me promise you this. God knows. God knows every thought of your heart. If you're concerned about if God knows you, sometime today, go home and read Psalm 139. Just read Psalm 139. Just let God speak to you. God knows what's going on in our life. Grief comes. Sadness comes. Hurt comes. Financial problems come. Health problems come. And there's one now standing there telling us it doesn't have to be this way. I don't think, and I think that the medical industry will tell you now, all this fast-paced living isn't this good for people. It's really amazing. We work 52 weeks a year for the 2 weeks we get off. And what do? We go to the mountains. We push up a tent. We sleep on the ground. We attempt to catch fish out of the water, cook them over an open fire, stink to high heaven because there's no bathing going on. Humans were made for a much simpler kind of life. Little house on the prairie, yeah, Lord. Amen. But we're involved in a world that's not like that. Reality says this is not the way that it is. We have issues with our families. We have issues between husbands and wives. We have issues with our kids. We got issues with the boss. We got issues with the IRS. We got issues with whatever. Just fill in the blank. And one stands up, this one, called Jesus. Had a chance this week to read something, and it was old. It was an old book because it talked about B.C. and A.D. Before Christ and Anno Domini, or the year of our Lord. We don't say that no more. That offends people to say that. So now we have C.E. and A.C.E. Anybody know what they even stand for? The common era. So you don't have to mention God. You don't have to mention Jesus. It's the common era. And then after the common era. But the thing they can't get rid of in common era, after the common era, they can't get past what happened right there in the middle. It wasn't a new Democrat. It wasn't a new Republican. It wasn't a new general. It wasn't a new government, a new king. It was Jesus Christ that split history. So whatever you call it, it was and before Christ, after Christ. Christ is in the very middle. God come to this earth. The all-powerful God. This one who spoke into nothingness and everythingness came into being. There's a real blessing for me in that, because when I look at my resources, what do I have to draw on? There's nothing there. You've been there. You've been there. You've worked so hard on a project that suddenly you've got nothing left. You are totally burned out. There's nothing more to draw on. I'm out of money. I'm out of gas. I'm out of health. I'm out of family. I'm out of hope. It's all zero. This one called God is the one that spoke into nothingness and everything came. We get to the point where there's nothing. That's the starting place of God. That God that you serve is the one that's able to speak into your life. And everything take place. And this one called Jesus came to tell us about this God. This God that loved you enough to send this Jesus to speak to you and to me in November of 2016, telling us my plan has not changed. I have not changed. Jesus has not changed. We are still here. We are still able. All we're looking for is for you to come. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have. I found out this week, I shared with our Sunday school class this morning, there's a name in the prayer list now, Larry Ruiz. Larry's pastor of the Agape Fellowship in Pueblo, Colorado. The young man he and Alicia came out of the streets of East L.A. Tough places. And God saved him, and he's come to Pueblo, and he's got a church down there, some of the most loving people you have ever met in your life, because they're like the pastor is. He just loves people. He just, maybe not the greatest theologian in the entire world, he just loves people. We had elections yesterday for the regional board of ministers and other elections. And I told Larry, I said, Larry, I'm writing you in here. And he says, no. He says, can I opt out of even the election? And I says, not by me, brother. I'm writing you in here. And he says, I don't want to be on the board. He says, why? He says, because it takes away from my ability to love people. That's who he is. And he has absolutely run on that. The most powerful force that he has is this love that goes out. He couldn't pull his bow back to go hunting last year. Wasn't right. Just went to the doctor, and the doctor tested him, and he's got 2 biomedical markers for muscular dystrophy. I stand against that right now. Even as I tell you, I stand against that. We're going to see a miracle in that. I found out yesterday that the wife of our new administrative bishop, they'll be here the 4th of December. You're going to love them. But Jan Jarvis has got a brain tumor. And they've did some things with a laser knife and got rid of some, but there's still some there. And she hurts a lot. She's on a cane. And she can't do like everybody else does. She gets on that keyboard, one of those beautiful voices I have ever heard in my life. And her husband, they get to singing together. And it's like, wow. But I don't care who you are. There can come a time and a day when suddenly something comes into your life. And it's like, oh, wow. It might be disease. It might be bankruptcy. Maybe divorce. A death in the family. Something was come into your life. Something happens within your life. And you find out, I got nothing. What I want to say to you this morning, there is one. I love the old chorus to a song. I don't even know the song as I know the chorus. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I have sung that song at times, just myself, a choir of one, when I've been in places that I never ever dreamed I would be. When I've come to the end of who I am, and now there's not a whole lot out in front of me. And I sing that chorus and I hear those words. And something on the inside begins to build up. It's not that it's the greatest words in the world. It's not that it's the most beautiful song in the world. But it's based in a fact. There is a Jesus who split time, by whom and through whom all things were created. And that Jesus is standing there saying to me, come. 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 You come. Come unto me. And no matter how you say it, he's saying exactly that. Get your stuff and bring it here. Who? Well, the Christian guys, of course. The ones who've served God all their life. The ones who pay their tithes and sing their songs. That's the ones. No. You who labor and are heavy laden. In fact, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Hear what Jesus is saying. These are red words. All of you who have worked until you can't work anymore. You are exhausted. You come to me. You who have labored. in fields of ministry, fields of nursing, fields of education, fields of building and carpentry and machinists and truck drivers. And when you have run out of stuff and you can't go no more, you come to me. My son's with me here today. And I'm so incredibly blessed by that, because there was a time right here in this church when I put up a picture of the car that he was involved in that accident where they had to airlift him out of there. I was there when the chief of trauma and chief of surgery came into Long Island, the hospital on Long Island, and they told him, "You shouldn't be alive." I know Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, I know Eric did not get up in the morning, put his equipment on, get into his squad car and say, "I think I'm going to run right down this expressway and have a big wreck that almost kills me." I know he didn't say that. But what happens is events can take place and suddenly we find ourselves in the middle of the worst situation we could ever be in, ever. Last week I spent time in a hospital till the early hours of the morning with a family, waiting for a helicopter to take their loved one off to Colorado Springs. Fine, one day, and then a series of events begin to take place, and now at near-death state. Didn't plan on that. But things happen. Do you believe that? Anything ever happen to you? Pick up the phone in the middle of the night? Wish I'd never picked that phone up. But things happen. "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden." You're burdened down with stuff. We went into this year in 2016. The greatest hopes. Did anybody have hopes saying this is going to be the best year of my entire life? And yet you sit here right now and you look back and you say, it wasn't so good. In fact, it was the worst year of my life. That one who began the years is still telling us, "Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." That word souls there, it's an important word. The soul is who we think, who we reason we are. It's our emotions. It's that on the inside of us that you can't see, but all of a sudden burst out every now and then in a long slew of unsanctified verbiage or comes out in gallons of tears or comes out in some way. I wish that would have never happened, but it did. That's our soul. Oh, I can go to work. I can do my job. Physically, I'm able. I'm able to do things. But your emotions, that which is on the inside, is in turmoil. Listen to the Spirit that cries from the throne of God to the Spirit that dwells in you. "Come unto me, you, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." Have you ever been to the place that you have been so emotionally distraught on the inside you couldn't even get out of bed? There are people all over this country today that are doing exactly that. Some of you remember Jan Crouch from TBN. The long blonde hair and a big smile. She went through a time in her life she could not even get out of bed. Her kids were having to fix her meals. Her husband is overseas trying to plant television stations. She's in bed weeks at a time, can't get out. Why? Physically, yeah, I can get out of bed. I can walk on, do all those things. But on the inside of her, her soul said no. Her soul was governing who she is. Some of you have been emotional wrecks at times you didn't think you could go on living. I went through a period in my life, 4 weeks. 4 weeks I lost 22 pounds because I knew I could not fix the thing I needed to fix. And my emotions were a wreck. And this Jesus, this time splitter, this God says to me, Chuck, come to me. Joe, come to me. Heath, come over here to me. Susan, come to me. Deborah, come to me. I will give you rest for your souls. Pick me! Pick me! Pick me! Pick me! If I could just sleep at night, if I could just do it. And that's what he's saying. Come here. Come here. I had a horse one time. Beautiful black horse. The liveliest horse in the whole world. And she was the one that started this whole process of limping. Great horse. Wonderful horse. If you could get her to simply come out of the pasture to where you were. Come on, over here. Get out the oat bag. That finally was the trick. That was the one. Oats and an apple. That's what got it. When finally I found out what it was that would attract her, here she would come and I could do what I wanted to do with my horse. Other than that, no, it just ain't going to happen. How many times has Jesus stood and shook to us? Saying, come. Come on. I've got this thing that I want to do with you that's going to blow your mind. Come on. What does he want to do? What's this great thing he wants to do to us? A yoke. A yoke? I'm already married. I don't need no more yokes. I don't need no more getting hooked up with anything. I want to be free. I was told one time about yoke makers. Not just hens. But yoke makers that would build custom made yokes for your oxen. And there was a measuring process, there was a cutting process, so that animal could get into that yoke and do the job that was needed to do because the yoke fit them. Didn't rub them, it didn't make them raw, where the infection set in, you lose your animal, whatever. This was a business. That man knew how to make a yoke that fit you. You know where I'm going? Jesus knows the yoke. Jesus knows the yoke. I could not bear the yoke that was needed because of what happened in the garden. I couldn't bear that. I couldn't pay the price to get me out of the yoke, this yoke of sin and of pain and of hurt. But Jesus came all by himself and took a one-man yoke that looks a lot like that cross back on that wall. And he bore my shame and my guilt and my sin and freed me. And now when I'm still walking and I'm still having times of hurt and problem, I'm still having these times in life that I go through. You know, when the disciples were in that boat and it was ready to sink, Peter stood up and said, you don't even care, we're going down. He was asleep in the boat. These guys are in panic mode and he's sound asleep. And Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves and all became quiet. I don't know if he's going to do that every time, but I do know what. When the waves get big and we're afraid we're going down, he ain't going to step out of the boat and walk off on the water somewhere else. He's going to ride it out with me. I won't always deliver you from the valley, but I'll be with you in the valley. Jeremiah says it this way, when I go through the seas, you're with me. When I go through the rivers of water, they will not overflow me. When I go through the fires, they will not kindle upon me. Why did he say that? Because God said, when you go through the oceans, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, I will walk with you. When you go through the fires, I will be with you. And the fire will not kindle. You won't even smell like smoke. I will be with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. I know what you're going through. Now come to me. I got a yoke for you. Not such a big deal. What the big deal is, take my yoke. When I am willing to come and to say, Lord, fit that around me, He knows just how it fits. And He custom molds that yoke. And then He says to me, you don't have to bear this alone. I look over on my side of the yoke to the other side, and I see Jesus. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's why he talked in the verses before about God revealing himself to Jesus and knowing who Jesus is, because no man knows the Son but the Father. But no one knows the Father but the Son, and I'm telling you, you come to me and I'll show you the love of this Father. We talked about it Wednesday night, and it gets me sometime to use the word Abba. When you say Daddy God or Papa God, people get a little knew about that, because God is so great and He needs to be worshipped, and He's all holy, and we shouldn't say those things. Well, why did Paul say that we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Papa? God sent Jesus to show us that. So my yoke is with Jesus, who demonstrated what my Papa is like. Come learn of me. That's why God sent Jesus, so we could learn about who He is. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It starts with the words, come. Come. We've got to be willing to come. I read a story this week, an old sermon illustration, but it really got me. Two men were in the lake, in the water, the beach lake kind of out there. And one of them, the one could swim, and the other one was just kind of wading around and up to his waist and having a good old time, him and his partner. And the guy walked out there, and he walked off a ledge into about 20 feet of water. Panicked immediately. Come to the top, bubbling, screaming, can't swim. Splashing, carrying on. His partner ran out, ran up to the lifeguard, and he says, my friend's having problems. The lifeguard looked over there, and he says, he sure is. Well, go help him. Not yet, not yet. Guy goes down, comes back up, screaming, help me, help me, help me. And he says, grabs him by the leg, and he says, go help my friend. He says, not yet. He says, well, I'm going to go help him. He says, no, don't you go. He says, he's not ready. Pretty soon, the guy quit fighting and just was floating there. The lifeguard bailed off his platform, swam out there, and he got him. You see, he wasn't ready yet, because he was trying to do everything himself. And if I'd have went out there, all he would have done is use me. He would have used me for a ladder. There used to be a swimming pool out there that used to be the Lamplighter. Going down the curve out there. There used to be a swimming pool there. We used to go swimming sometimes in high school. A young kid fell in and he hit his head and he went down and he came back up and he was coughing, snorting. So I bailed in after him. I was going to be a hero. I about drowned with that little guy. Half the size I was. But he walked from my back of my legs up my swimming trunk to my shoulders, just kept pushing me down, pushing me down, pushing me down. Because he was doing everything himself. The lifeguard says, when he went still, he was ready to be helped. When you get still, and all your efforts that have failed now, you leave them alone, and you get quiet, and you hear that quiet voice. Come. Come. All of you who are burdened, you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. When you're ready to come, you will find the answer to life, the blessing of life, the epitome of life, life itself in Jesus. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I would encourage you, because I done already encouraged myself. This is where this came from, was my own little screaming match, my own little prayer things that were going out. If we're ready to come, we're going to find the rest that we need. We go into this season, you rest in Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season, and so this is where I'm going to begin to celebrate. It's coming up. I'm going to begin by thanking God for sending Jesus that I could have everything. And when it gets to Christmas Day, I am just going to think about Jesus. I'll do my best for whatever else has to be done, but this is all about Jesus. I'm going to find my rest in Him. Perfect rest. Perfect peace. The world cannot take it away. It even works on Academy Boulevard. It even works at the Citadel and Chapel Hills. It still works. Would you bow your heads?